Okay. Greetings, everyone. Trying to get my, here we go. Okay. Well, the title of my message tonight is The Witness of the Spirit, or The Witness of the Holy Spirit, or The Inward Witness, some people call it. Is this too much glare behind me, Ernestine?
Looks fine to me, Robert.
Okay. Anyway, so, you know, I don't know how long ago I started, but I started putting together bits and pieces of things that I wasn't quite sure how it was going to come together, but one of the parts was the Holy Spirit. And the beginning of all that started with the witness of the Spirit, and I began to take notes and put together some scriptures, and I've been putting together different things. And now I'm seeing how, kind of how it works with me. All that's coming together for some other bigger thing. You know, it's just parts of a training and equipping that I'm going to do. And so tonight we're going to talk about the witness of the Spirit. This is just a part of it. It's funny how the Lord does that with me. He gives me bits and pieces here and there. Because if he told me we're going to do this and it's going to be this big no. You know, that's just not how my brain can handle that. But I get several things and then I realize they're all linked together and they're part. And that's something how the Holy Spirit works, isn't it? And that's kind of how what I'm talking about tonight. The witness of the Spirit, how he leads, the leading of the Spirit. And I'll tell you, I've just got a few scriptures here, but I'm just going to talk to you, okay? Now, I got born again. I mean, most of you have heard my story. You know, in 1973, I was a rascal, a criminal, and I was high on cocaine when I got born again. That's how bad it was. But you know what? I can't remember the sequence of things because it's been so long ago. Because when I got born again, I didn't immediately get filled with the Spirit. I think it was about a week and a half, maybe. But right in there somewhere, the Lord spoke to me. Well, he spoke to me right off. I mean, you know, it wasn't unusual. I've said it before. And it wasn't unusual to hear the Lord speak because I've been hearing demons for a while. So... hearing voices wasn't new, but this was good. But I remember him saying to me one day, real early, and I think it's when I got filled with the Spirit. He said, now, for all of your life, I will be guiding you, and I will reveal to you, and I'll show you what's from me and what's not from me. When there's anything spoken in ministry or teaching or preaching or you're reading something, you know, and I'm going to reveal to you if it's me or if it's not me. And I didn't know really anything. I mean, I didn't know, hey, that's a witness of the Spirit. But he said, you know, I'm going to guide you too. I'm going to guide you in all things. I'm going to teach you. And I thought, well, that's a good thing, you know. And so for a good while, honestly, I was spoiled because he would actually speak. And I'd be hearing somebody bring a message and he'd say, yeah, that's good. He said, no, don't listen to that. But that's good. You know, it's like an umpire in the whole thing. And it was the same way if somebody said, hey, you know, maybe you want to think about reading this book, you know, some Christian had written, and I'd start to read, and the Lord said, no, that's not true. Oh, this is good. Learn this. Let that other go. And things like that. But as time went on, you know, you feed a baby food. And, I know they don't think like this, but I'm thinking, well, if I was a baby, I'm going, wow, this is easy. All I got to do is open my mouth and swallow. I ain't got to chew. I don't even have to gum nothing. I just got to swallow. It's all processed and made for me. That's the way it was for me in the beginning. It was baby food. But as time went on, it wasn't, the speaking wasn't always there. It was more like I just knew in the inside. And some of y'all experience that from time to time. But what he has for you is all the time. And what he has for me is all the time, for me and Kathy and for all of you, is all the time. Because he said, I'll always be there with you. I'll always show you if you're listening. And that song that they just did, you know, I will wait on you. That's key. Because it's all about how much can you listen. Because we're so busy. See, the insides are busy. Your heart's busy. Because we got life going on. And that was one of the things that the Apostle John talked about in his epistles. You know, these are the things that can get in the way. You know, the pride of life, the cares of this life. Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4. Parable of the sower. One of the seeds fell on a ground that didn't, you know, they didn't produce much because the cares of this life and the desire for other things choked the word. And so what we don't want is that the enemy can come in and steal the word, or that the cares of this life, the things that are concerning you right now, even the things that you're calling out to the Lord for, your focus on that can choke the word. The focus on that can keep you from receiving revelation, okay? So right now, I'm just praying right now that you would receive, and I know the Holy Spirit wants to bear witness. I know he does. And so you just hang in there with me for a few minutes, and we'll see where we go. Because that's kind of my story. I learned that... you know, sometimes it was just a little, you know, like a check. I'd get like a stop sign on the inside of something going on. Or, well, you know, we're going to go over here and do so-and-so. And I'm, you know, I might get a witness that, you know, I don't think I'm supposed to do that. I don't think I will. And things like that. It might be just something simple as that. Or, you know, I'm going to go over here, but I sense that I'm supposed to pull over around here somewhere. Oh, you know what? I want to go down this aisle over here. Somebody mentioned Walmart. You know, it's like the church of Walmart. Things happen at Walmart. And you're going to go down this aisle, and I sense the Lord wants me to go over here. But I don't want nothing down that aisle. And I'm sitting there, and it comes to me. Tell me, that's the Lord. You need to go down that aisle. You know, you're going to greet somebody or say something to someone, or, you know, you're going to get an opportunity. A divine appointment can happen anytime. But I want to give you a scripture, Proverbs 20, verse 27. And this is a scripture that Kenneth E. Hagin taught on the being led of the Spirit a lot. And this is a scripture he loved, and I do. And it says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. And basically what he's saying there, and you know, you can do a study on it, but that's how the Lord speaks. He will communicate with you through your spirit. He doesn't communicate with you through your body or through your soul. It's through your spirit. But we are so busy because we have lived in the natural. We've lived out of our soul our entire life. And we continue to live in this world where we have to make decisions and we have cares. We got children to take care of, or you got grandchildren, or you got a house, or whatever you got going on, things to do. You know, but we still operate so much out of the natural, out of your soul, I call it. The Lord began to teach me about quieting my soul and disciplining my soul so that I can be intimate with him and I could hear him in a different way, in a greater depth. And And it enhanced everything, including this witness of the Spirit for me. But you know, I knew it wasn't just for me, it was for all of us. And you know, in the group that I was with, that the Lord, when he swept through, and the Holy Spirit just was so poured out that that made me really, it was amazing. And but we all had this such a desire to please him, because we'd all been caught up in his love and experienced him so much, had a revelation of him, had encounters with Jesus, and all we wanted to do was please him. And we all learned, we knew, we didn't realize it was called the witness of the Spirit, but we all learned that this is the life that we're called to, is to live by the Spirit and not by the natural. Now in Galatians, and most versions will say not by the flesh, but really, if you do a deep study in that, you'll find out it's really the things of the soul, the things you've been involved with. And even though, you know, the man of sin is dead, but your mind has to be renewed, okay? And so, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. But the Holy Spirit wants us to come to an understanding. This is so important. This message that I'm bringing to you is so important because it's timely. Because we're in a period of time right now that's going to run out. Okay? And the body of Christ doesn't know how to follow the leading of the Spirit. They don't know the witness of the Spirit. I mean, I've seen it my entire 52 years. And it amazes me. How many people in the body of Christ and pastors and leaders, they depend upon what their knowledge is or what somebody said instead of the witness of the Spirit. And in Isaiah 30, that's a chapter where he starts talking about this is what's going to come, okay? These things are going to come to pass, okay? And guess what? In verse 21, take notice, it says, And when you turn to the right hand or to the left, you're going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Walk this way. This is the way, walk in it. And that is the witness of the Spirit. Always there. And, you know, I got so used to it, it was like I never thought about it. It was just normal. And it still is. But it's not, I noticed that I'm not doing it to the level that I can, which is interesting that we have that choice, okay? That I want to get better and better at it. And it's all a part of the thing I'm going to teach and, you know, training I'm going to do on the Holy Spirit. Now, I can tell you right now, I don't know. I've heard this said both ways. There's a argument about, can you have the inner witness without being baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I'm not sure. I think so. I mean, I've seen a lot of things. People say, oh, this can't happen, that can't happen. Basically, they're judging a lot of those things on logic and reasoning, which is out of the soul, which does not line up with the way the Lord thinks. I'm telling you, he's not interested in our logic and reasoning. Because, you know, the Lord will tell you something that don't make no sense. You know, he'll just tell you to do something. Well, if I do that, I know I'm going to lose money and this is going to happen. No, he ain't going to argue with you about it. You know, but if you do what he tells you, you'll prosper. Okay? And so many times, you know, we don't. We harden our, you can, when you are not paying attention to the witness of the Spirit, you actually can harden your heart towards it. Now, it's not that it can't be, you know, restored and mean quick, but you can harden your heart. You can build a callus over your ears of your heart. And, you know, let me see if I pull this scripture up. case I wanted it, out of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. You know, it starts out, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Man, that's where it all starts, right there. You know, you have to incline your ear to him. And the witness of the Spirit is you inclining your ear to his sayings. And it's the same thing when you're reading the Word. You know, I don't read the Word just to read the Word. I'm not interested in learning knowledge. That's just not me. It never has been, really, because I never really considered that I was very smart. You know, I mean, I've never been big on all that. But I want to meet with Jesus when I'm reading the Word. And I want to meditate in the Word, not to memorize the Scripture, is to meditate on the Word with Him, with Jesus, with Jesus. And so he can use all of that. You know, it's so serious. The Lord is serious here. In verse 21 says, let them not escape from your sight. That sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? So, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, and let them not escape from your sight. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Meditate on it. Why? Because your life depends on it. Your life depends on you paying attention, listening, meditating on the things that the Lord has to say, on his word. And but it says, your life depends on it. For they are life to those that find them and healing to all your flesh. Just the word. I've seen people get healed because of a word. I've been healed. Just listen to somebody teach one time. And I got so many stories, and I take up too much time, so I don't want to take up too much time. But I want to tell you, if you're not filled with the Spirit, then there's so much in the Word that you're not experiencing. You're not. I was thinking about that today, man. Yeah, I mean, you start in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Through 16, and man, it is loaded with stuff that you can only partake of. What do I mean partake? I'm going to show you in just a minute. But partake of if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. And, you know, don't neglect any of it. Matter of fact, it's a continual immersing yourself in that. I want to go to a couple of scriptures. You know, the Lord told me he would guide me. And the first thing I did the first night, I sat down and I could hardly read. I mean, it's amazing. I'm telling you the things I'm writing and stuff, and I can't spell. So it's funny. But anyway, I could hardly read, but I sat up all night. It took me all night to read the Gospel of John in the King James. And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't understand it, but I knew something was going on inside of me when I was reading it. It was the Holy Spirit moving, and my new born again spirit was going, this is life. I mean, I could just sense the life. I could feel it, you know, even in my body, I could tell it. But down here in John 16, I'm going to go kind of quick. I hate it that I'm rushing, but usually, I mean, if you get done before I do, you just go ahead on, and it won't bother me. But anyway, chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, starting in verse 13, says, and I'm reading in the ESV, the English Standard Version here, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak." Man, isn't that something? Sometimes you wish that all ministers and so forth would do that. Just speak what they hear. You know, sometimes you just get a bunch of knowledge that don't make no sense. I was reading something yesterday from someone that I respected, and I'm going, what in the world did they get that from? I said, well, you know, they regurgitated that from something they pulled out of, you know, some background they came out of. They came out of the so-and-so church and they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they came into a charismatic thing, and but they brought some of this stuff with them. Anyway, so he only will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you. I mean, he'll reveal to you things that are to come. And he will glorify me. That's it right there. Glorifying Jesus. That's his purpose. He's going to help us to be more intimate with him, to walk with him, to know him, to glorify him. For he will take what is mine, what belongs to Jesus, and he will declare it and reveal it to you. All that the Father has is mine. You got to understand, people don't get this. From the moment that Jesus came in onto the planet, the focus of the Father was on the Son. He wanted the Son glorified. He wanted to hand the whole kingdom over to the Son, and the Son over to us. He's given us the keys to the kingdom, see. So, the Father, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said it, that he will take what is mine and declare it unto you. And then if you go up here to in chapter 14, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, this is where he gets started with it right here, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And that's what the Holy Spirit was saying to me that day. See, well, these things I've been reading to you right here, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he'll guide you in all truth and he will glorify. And then I'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Well, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're missing. It's like you're treading water, but you're treading it in the wrong direction. It's like you're going against the flow, in a sense, because you don't have all the paddles and stuff you're supposed to have with you. Don't mean you're not going to heaven. But there's some things that you that's meant for you that you're not experiencing yet. Now, I'm going to read that same, that was out of the English Standard Version. I'm going to read that same verse out of the Amplified. It says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And then, you know, the Amplified, they got to have parentheses with a whole bunch of explaining. He says, the Comforter. The Advocate, Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby, to be with you forever. And he's that and more, all of that. I mean, the Intercessor, just go over there to Romans 8:26, and it'll tell you right there, 26, 27, right in there. You know, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, and it, you know, in words that cannot be uttered, groanings. So, and he's talking about, you know, you don't know how to pray as you ought, but the Spirit knows how to pray. Well, I learned that something I learned. I mean, I didn't know how to pray about something. Well, I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost until I know something. The Lord will do something. And I've seen people transformed. I saw my son delivered from addiction, heroin addiction, because the Lord, I was talking to the Lord one day about it. I mean, this is years after I learned to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I didn't even see that. I mean, I didn't recognize that scripture was there. I just kind of knew, oh, this is something I'm supposed to do this. I don't know what I'm, I don't know how to pray about this. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost about it. And I was praying for my son. And I said, Lord, I was talking to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, this is a disaster right here. I don't know what to do. What can I do for my son? And the Lord said, You know what to do. You pray in the Holy Spirit over him. You pray in the Holy Spirit over him, and I'll lead you. I'll show you. I'll show you what's going to happen. I'll show you what's going to come to pass. And I'll show you how to pray in the natural. And that's what I did. And guess what? It wasn't long at all. I mean, that boy was delivered of that. And I've seen that happen thousands of times. And so, but this is what the Holy Spirit has come to do. He's come to be your guide. He does that by the witness of the Spirit. He does it by the witness of the Spirit. John 15. The Holy Spirit bears witness to your new born again spirit. Okay? John 15, verses 26, 27. Excuse me. English Standard Version. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. That's what he does. He'll bear witness about me, and you will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. See, the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness about Jesus to us, but these disciples are going to bear witness to him because they've been with him for these 3.5 years, right? Now, they didn't do nothing until they got filled with the Holy Ghost. No, don't say nothing to nobody. You know, he told it was 500, I forgot how many it was. You can see it in the book of Acts. I think it's in the book of Acts. It said over 500 people saw Jesus. And he told them, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise, this promise of the Father. 120 of them did it. Over 500 were invited to do it. 120 of them did it. Okay? And they waited. I don't want you to go testify. I want you to go wait. So that's what they did. And then the day of Pentecost came, which was why that particular, it was the Feast of Pentecost, which was established, you know, by Moses. And it was the reason for all that was a picture of this particular day in Acts chapter 2. Okay? The day of Pentecost came, and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember? They all got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all spake in other tongues. They had tongues of fire sitting on every single one of them, 120. Now, I don't even know how many children were there, but people ain't going to go there and leave their children. I mean, I'm just trying to think about it, picture myself being there. And I got to tell you, you know, what, they're in the upper room. So they're in this big upper room somewhere. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes, and there's these flames of fire that everybody can see. And then they're speaking in tongues, and they're also speaking in languages. This is a festival. People from all over the world, Jews from all over the world have come, okay, to celebrate this festival, because that was a commandment, to come to Jerusalem and celebrate this. So they were there, and all these people were hearing them. I'm just giving you, you know, a recap here. All these people were hearing them and speaking the marvelous works of God in their own language. And they wondered about it, and they doubted. And some were mocking them, saying, oh, they're drunk. Well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. And so finally, Peter, you know what? This transformed Peter. Peter found something about how who he was. And it came out. And preached his first sermon. And he said, I got this one down here, in Acts chapter 2, verse 15, 16. He said, for these are not drunken, this is King James, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, that's 9 a.m. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. The days will come when I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will prophesy, will have dreams. Well, I'm still having visions, so I don't care if I am almost 76. I'm still young, right? So anyway, so that's what happened. See, this is that. This what we got going on is this is that. Because, see, the age of Pentecost started on that day, and it's still going on right now, and it's going to come to an end, and we've got to take advantage of it. I've sensed this urgency prophetically from the Lord. Teach my people to wait on me and listen for the witness of the Spirit. Don't go by just knowledge. Don't do it. Don't go by knowledge. You know, the Lord has kept me from so many things because of the witness. And then I've gotten myself into so many things because I didn't listen to the witness. I've got a lot of history. You don't have to make mistakes. I've made them all, okay? But, I had a pastor one time came up to me and said, because I'm not one that's, type A. I mean, I'm not ready, aim, fire. I'm fire, fire, fire. I mean, we talk about do something. Let's go. Let's do it right now. I mean, that's me. But, I had a pastor was trying to get me to slow down a little bit. And one time he said to me, he said, Robert, you don't have time to make all the mistakes. You and I, we can learn from other people's mistakes. And I mean, that landed. And so I've tried to do that. But I remember one time I was a home builder and I was supposed to go meet with a client, this couple. And this has happened many times. And I went to meet with them, and they're talking to me. I'm talking to them, but the whole time the conversation is going on, I'm getting this check in my spirit. I call it a check, or a stop sign. And the more it was going on, eventually it got to be like a flashing red light. And I knew. I mean, he didn't say, but I knew. Don't go enter into a contract with these people. Do not do it. That'll be a biggest headache of your life. So I didn't. And I told him, I said, well, I tell you, I got you all your information, and I'm gonna get back to you. And so I did get back to him, and I said, you know what? I can't do it for you, and I can't even tell you why, but I just can't do it. And I've done that many times. And then I've been times when I was too busy and somebody wanted me to do some stuff, and I really didn't have time to do it. But the Holy Spirit would give me a witness. I want you to, I knew I was supposed to do it. I was supposed to do this job, and I ain't got time to do it. But the Lord made time. He helped me. And it was turned out to be lifelong friends, and people got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and some of them are in ministry. I mean, things can happen, but you got to be led of the Spirit. See, that's the whole thing about the witness of the Spirit is to follow Him. I'm going to get back to this whole thing about the age of Pentecost that we're in. I mean, I'm just saying it that way. I've never heard it said that way, but this is that. I mean, this is that. Okay. In Romans chapter 8, I love Romans 8. I mean, Romans 7 is tough. A whole lot of dying going on in Romans 7, but thank God for Romans 8. Yes, amen. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, right? That's in verse 1. And Galatians, he talks about this in Galatians 2. And the more I begin to, when the Lord was teaching me about the soul, he began to show me that this is the soul. This is how the soul operates. The thing, the fruit of the flesh it talks about in Galatians are the fruit of your unsubmitted soul. Really. And so, in Romans 8, verse 14, there's several verses in there that I could go to, but Romans 8, verse 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is generic sons of God. Men and women, little boys, little girls. The ones that are led by the Spirit, excuse me, Spirit of God, sons of God. Problem is, we're not all led by the Spirit of God. We're kind of living out of our soul. I do that too much. I'm learning, but it's a funny thing when you're in ministry all the time, and you're spending time preparing and before the Lord, it's easier. Or when I was in Bible college, Charis Bible College, it was much easier for me. I mean, to tell you, I was hearing the Lord all the time. Wake me up in the middle of the night, talk to me. But over here in verse 16 of that same chapter says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, that's something you got right now. Okay? See, he's bearing witness. But let me tell you what the Lord has revealed to me about the body of Christ. Now, I'm only focusing on what's going on in America, because that's the thing he's spoken to me about for years, is the body of Christ in America is a mess. Okay? And we've gotten away from so many things because we've depended upon the wisdom of man. We've depended upon knowledge, and we've depended upon people instead of hearing for ourselves. You know, I was called as a prophet, and I've had people come up to me and say, I need guidance. I want you to tell me what I'm supposed to do. That don't work with Robert. Let me tell you how I learned this. I'm a baby Christian, okay? And I'm a mess. You know, I'm born again, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, but I'm rough. I still want to fight. I used to love to fight. That was the only thing I was good at. And it took some doing to get me out of that, really. But you see, I had a pastor, I had two men. One of them, Steve Shackleton, he'll listen to this. He's out in California now, best friend. And I had a pastor that was there. The Lord brought Steve and his wife, and brought Pastor John Shackleton and his wife Ruth to us. And John, I went to John one day. I was about a month old in the Lord, and I had some decisions to make. And I said, John, I need some help. I said, I need to know what to do in this situation. I want you to tell me what to do. And I told him what was going on, you know, what I needed help with. He said, well, what's the Lord say? I said, what do you mean what the Lord said? I'm over here talking to you. I want you to tell me what to do. No, you go find out what the Lord has to say and come back and tell me that, and I'll guide you along with that. I said, yeah, that sounds like the Holy Ghost right there. That's what See, that's how I learned. So when anybody would come to me and say, you know, I want you to give me guidance. No, my job, according to Ephesians, I think it's 4 or 5, verse 11, you know, Jesus, gave to the body of Christ apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, right? For the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. See, my job, the Lord's been speaking to me strongly about, is equipping and empowering. My job is to help you get better at hearing and perceiving and being led of the Spirit. That's equipping you so that you don't need a word from a prophet. You have a word. You know, you can go to Walmart and have a word of knowledge for somebody. That's, I've been there and somebody's behind me and I don't know it. And the Lord be this so and I turn around and look, that's it. That's one right there. And you know, and I talked to him. I mean, the Lord can do anything like that. But see, that's for you to hear. It's not for the prophet to do it. It's not for the pastor to do it. It's for the body of Christ to do it. But we're so consumed about what our issues are, our health issues. I got them. My wife has them. I know what I'm talking about, you know. And y'all do too, Sue. But we're so consumed with all that, we don't realize that actually what he has in mind for us is that we are walking in dominion. You've heard me talk about it before if you listen to me. And we're giving away what we got, you know. But we've got to learn how to follow the witness of the Spirit and being led of the Spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. English Standard Version, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. I'm still bringing scriptures that talk about how he bears witness. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Gotta get a little drink. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But, I like that. But we have the mind of Christ. He'll speak to you right through that. Speak to you right through it. And see, what's contrary to it are the things of the soul. I remember many times this came to pass, but the Lord would say, I want you to, I had a witness. I had an opportunity, opportunities came. I had a lot of opportunities that came in my lifetime. For a long time, the enemy tried to tempt me with money because I grew up poor. No heat, we were poor. You know, POOR is P-O-O-R is an acronym for passing over opportunities regularly. But PO, P-O is just passed over. And we was passed over. So we was poor. My dad was a World War II vet that had tremendous, what they call PS, whatever it is, PST or whatever, you know. He had that a lot. And it affected him. It was hard for him to. He didn't make a lot of money, and he was a brilliant man. But, you know, we got by. But I had opportunities to make millions several times, but there was always something a little shady in there, and I knew it wasn't going to be pleased to the Lord. I'd get this witness, and I said, Lord, you don't even have to tell me. I'm not going to do that. I don't care what. I know. They said, yeah, no. I don't care. And you know how the enemy. He'll try to do things because you're on the right track. You understand what I'm saying? He's trying to steal something because you got something. You got to understand that. Well, I don't think I got much. Yes, you do. If you don't understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then you don't understand your breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness. Yeah. And where is it? It's over your heart. You got to have a revelation of the righteous, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when I heard, you know, a couple of them teaching this, you know, out at Charis Bible College, Andrew Womack and Arthur Menches, wow, he was awesome. I got the revelation. And it come alive in me. And I had some encounters where, you know what, I took off my breastplate and beat the devil with it. I mean, I had actual encounters with demons. Because I'm interceding for somebody, not realizing I was going to come up against demons, ruling demons over cities. And I guess they didn't know who they was. That's what I said to them. You know, when they confronted me, I'm praying, I'm interceding, you know. And all of a sudden, this thing come up in my face, and my eyes are closed. I saw it in the spirit. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what is that? He said, that's the ruling demon over so-and-so city. I won't mention it. And he's here to intimidate you, and because you know you're having too much an effect here. And I got so tickled. I said, you know what? I just spoke directly to him. I said, you don't know who you're messing with. I love to fight. I am the righteous. You don't know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And immediately took off running, like eight legs. It's like a spider with a head on it, and his eyes got big, and I couldn't catch him. And the Lord said, I said, Lord. Where's he going? He's trying to get away from you because he realizes that you know who you are. See, you got to know who you are, and you need a witness of the Spirit to realize that. When I'm telling you that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the Holy Ghost can land that revelation on you right now or refresh it to you. The Holy Spirit bear witness to you about it, okay? Because we're in a season right now that's coming to an end, okay? So what we've got is the things of the Spirit are at war against the things of the flesh or the things of the soul, okay? I taught one time in a college class one time. I was asked to take a class, and I didn't have any time to prepare. And I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" So I gave him an exercise, and I talked to him about how to. I gave him a real quick, and I've been promising to do it. I'm going to do it. Teaching people how to bring the soul into submission to the Spirit, because when it comes into submission to the Spirit, it's really set free. And when the Spirit and the soul are in agreement, and the Spirit is ruling, listen, things can happen. But I remember I gave him an assignment: go home, do this. And they realized that there was a war going on. And they came back the next day. It's like they felt like there were two different entities living on the inside. That's your soul and that's your spirit. In Galatians, let me pull that up. Galatians 5, it says right there, I believe it's verse 16. You know, Paul's been talking about, that Christ is, he's talking to a bunch of people that are struggling in Galatia. And these people are walking after their flesh. They're walking after the just natural man, ain't worried about renewing their mind. You know, they're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. They can operate in some gifts, and they're just getting drunk, and they're doing all kinds of stuff, you know. And he's trying to tell them, you've been set free. Why would you walk in this? You've been set free from. Let's go down here to verse 16. And after he'd gone through all this stuff, he's talking to him. He says, but I say, I'm in the English Standard Version, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. You won't do it. If you'll walk by the Spirit, you don't have to try to stop doing that. Just start walking by the Spirit. Make it sound easy. You have to incline your ear into his sayings, right? Saturate yourself in his presence. Worship him. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost, focusing on him. And listen. Quiet your heart. Quiet your soul, and just listen. Just listen. I taught 4 and 5 year olds. I got in trouble, but I didn't care. I mean, you can't get in trouble if you don't care, right? So it was my turn to teach 4 and 5 year old Sunday school. And I was one of the very few people, 7 or 8 people that started this church, helped form this church several years earlier. But, they don't make me no big wheel. I mean, I was like just one of the folks there. So I'm teaching 4 and 5 year olds, and they got these programs, for children to go through in Sunday school. And I was looking at what they gave me to teach, to go over with these kids, and I thought, what good gracious, that ain't going to help them. That was me. And I said, you know what, I'm going to teach them how to worship Jesus. I brought my guitar, and then I began to teach them about how you can talk to Jesus, and he'll talk to you if you quiet your heart and be still. And children, man. I mean, I had a set of twins that were seeing and talking to, having conversations with angels. And I mean, these children were like, it was so easy for them. And I really got jealous of them a lot, But you can teach anybody if you just quiet your soul. See, it says, for the desires of your flesh or your natural self, or your soul are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, or your soul. You understand? So, how do you separate all that? Sometimes, I've been in situations where I get something, but I'm going, Lord, is that my soul? Because I got knowledge about this. Way to do this. Once you learn how to do a thing, you depend on the knowledge that you get about it. And then you quit depending so much on the Spirit. That's a dangerous thing to do. But that's what we do. And I learned how to build. I learned good because I wanted to produce excellence. I mean, I wanted to honor Jesus. I didn't care if I made money or not. I was going to make money. I wasn't worried about money. The Lord's going to cause me to prosper. I'd do that. That was a given. I didn't even think about money. But all I cared about was doing it to the best of my ability, so I had to learn it to the best of my ability when I was being trained. You know, and so I did things really well. You know, I produced a good product, and I was knowledgeable about what I was doing. And I still am. But then I got to where I just responded into knowledge I knew. And sometimes I'd get a check about that. That's the way it went. Lord, is that you? Or is that just me? Is that you? Is that me? Well, I'm going to go over here and get to the side here because I got a recipe to solve the whole thing. Let's go to Hebrews. I hope this is helping somebody. I never feel like I'm doing a very good job. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm reading this out of the New Revised Standard Version. You know, if you ever wonder why I pick all these different versions, King James, New King James, English Standard Version, Amplified, New Revised Standard, because I get a witness about it. And sometimes I'll be reading scripture in a certain version and something's wrong here. That's not what the Lord's trying to say to me. And I'll check something else out. Sometimes I'll use the Passion Translation, but I don't advise using that as your Bible. Because some of that stuff is, the Lord told me, no, that's not right. So I do what I get, what bears witness, okay? And so the Holy Spirit bears witness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Indeed, the Word of God, the Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until I love, because that's what I like about the New Revised Standard Version here. Piercing until it divides soul and spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It'll discern. The Word will discern it. Well, I'm going to get into the Word. So I don't know what to do. I know how to build this. Or I know how this is supposed to come about right here. But I'm getting a witness that I'm supposed to do something different maybe. Or is this just me trying to get a witness, you know? So I'm going to go off over here to the side. I used to do this all the time. I had a crew of carpenters and I trained them. And I worked with them and if we get into a problem, I'd say, well, I'm going to go over here and get under this shade tree. And they knew. They was heathen. And I mean, they heard the word from me. None of them got born again while they were with me. For a dozen years. And, hey, my hands are, no blood on my hands. So anyway, I'm going to go over here and get under this tree. And they were confident that I was going to hear from the Lord. That was the funny part. When Robert gets back, he's going to know what to do because the Lord's going to show him what to do. it's so funny. And they didn't get born again. Anyway, so that's what I do. And I'd go over there and I'd just meditate. And I'd meditate on the Lord, I'd wait on the Lord, and I'd have my New Testament, my little back pocket New Testament. I'd open it up. The Lord's Word says you're going to teach me all things. So I'm right here. I know you're going to show me. You're going to teach me right now. I've had him teach me things I didn't even know. Didn't even know how to do that. I'm going to show you how. Show me how to do it. A lot of times. And so... But that's what happens. The word would divide between the soul and the spirit. I'll tell you this quick story. My pastor, it was funny because he was Baptist. To me, that's funny because he had this intimate walk with the Lord and was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was in the Navy for like 9 or 10 years, served on a nuclear submarine, and was an electrician, period. And they had a specialist electronics guy who was in charge of maintaining the nuclear propulsion, all the equipment, and everything. And so that guy got appendicitis, and they had to airlift him out, and they're going to go under the Arctic in the ice for months. And they said, his last name is Shackleton. Shackleton, this is your job. You know, he's first class petty officer, and I don't know anything about that. No, this is your closest thing we got, and we can't get anybody else in for a while. And so things would, you know, something would break down or something, and he'd bring it back and set it in his little cubicle right there, and he would just wait on the Lord. And it's like the description. Lord, you said you would teach me all things, and I know you're going to show me what to do. Just wait on the Lord. And the Lord showed him what it was, what was wrong with it, and how to fix it. And that happened hundreds of times. And guess what he learned? He became so confident that the Lord would show him anything. And he taught that stuff to us, you see. And so I want to teach it to you. And all he did was tell us. You can do it if I tell you. You can sense it now. You can sense it now. But there's different ways of having a witness. Sometimes you get a yes. Sometimes you get a shout from the Lord. So, you know, a bigger confirmation. I've had that too. And sometimes you get a no. You know, a check, an uneasiness. And here's a scripture for you. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, I give to you. I'm going to give my peace to you, my peace. Not as the world gives. I ain't talking about the world kind of peace where nothing's wrong. I mean, in the midst of everything wrong, you can have my peace. That's supernatural. You know, that's the life of Christ kind of peace. Okay? So Jesus said, I'm going to give it to you. Said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. You know, I'm giving you my peace. Now, it's your choice to be able to walk in that peace. We get choices. We had to choose. So here's this scripture, Colossians 3:15, the English Standard Version says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Goes right with that scripture in John 14, don't it? And then that was the English Standard Version. Now, I'm going to read this one to you. I read the same scripture out of the Passion Translation. It says, let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as a part of His one body. How about that? See, His peace can rule in your heart. I don't have peace about that. There's something about it. I mean, it's not, if it's fear, that's not Him. It's the lack of peace that can be Him. But if you don't have peace because you're afraid, then you're not trusting Him. And you can't really hear. Maybe He don't want you to do that. But you don't know because you're not used to trusting Him. You know, those kids that were doing that worship song, I was enjoying that so much. I love that. I love the energy and I love the song. But I was thinking to myself, I said, Lord, they don't know nothing about waiting on you yet. Because, you know, they're too young to have too many things bad happen yet. You know what I'm saying? And y'all have lived a life, you know what I'm talking about. Now, some of them probably have, maybe have. But, you know, when the things go bad, that's when you got to get still. Because, man, I need to hear. And I've had them. I mean, I've had the stuff. And Kathy's had the stuff. And, you know, we've had some stuff recently. You know, we lost a family member on Kathy's side of the family. And a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago maybe, and some of that family's coming down here next month. And we're praying every night. We're praying for the Holy Spirit to minister to them, right? And guess what I'm doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. And I just want our home to be a place of His presence. When you come in here, there's peace. And I don't think I've had it enough. I want it. That's what I want. I just want to leave you with this. This is it. This is that. Okay? What Peter said. This is that. And this is what He has for us, not as a side thing of Christianity. This is life. The witness of the Spirit, of being led of the Spirit, of walking in the Spirit and no longer walking just after the natural. I've lost a lot of money because I didn't listen. You know, sometimes you'll get something from the Lord that came from a vessel you wasn't excited about hearing it from. That's happened to me. And I didn't, but it was him. And how can they be qualified to bring that? They in all kind of sin. But it was the Lord. He don't care. He ain't interested in your judgment about it. I'm telling you, he wants to teach us, and he wants everybody that listens to what I got to say right here today, whether it's now or some other time, to practice listening more and be led of the Spirit and follow the Spirit and learn how to quiet your soul and listen for the witness of the Spirit. I'm just going to pray. I believe that's what I need to do now. I got several more stories I could tell you, but I've already gone too long. Brother Steve's going to get on me. He always had to break my messages into two parts. Yeah, take a break in between. You ought to get that option. Father, I thank you so much. Papa, I just thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I know. I just know that you Lord, you're coming for a glorious bride, and we're not glorious yet. We're so fragmented, Lord. And we're so carnal. We're so carnal in that we don't walk, the body of Christ doesn't know how to follow your Spirit. They don't know how. Don't know how, and the teachers and the pastors, they don't know how to show them. Now, some of them don't know how. No judgment, Lord, from me. I understand. And I know why. I mean, I know what you want me to do. But right now, Lord, your word says he coming because the bride has made itself ready. Has made itself ready. Not that you made it ready, but the bride has made herself ready. And we got to learn how to walk. And I just ask you, Lord, by your Spirit, that you bear witness to these things. And that you bear witness to your strong desire, waiting for anyone to respond to your word. Waiting for anyone to respond to this word to you. To you, Lord, that you'll teach them. You teach them all things. You lead them and guide them. Show them what's you, what's not you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're so faithful. You're always faithful, infinitely faithful. Steadfastness. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for an opportunity. Try to bring this, Lord. Try to honor you. We love you. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you. I'm so thankful. Amen.